Good afternoon. It's about 2 o'clock, and this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated September 4th, 2015. We'll begin today's readings on the front page with harvest. Farmers gather options as they ready for harvest. Farmers should have a plan of what kind of fields to work as they begin to head into harvest. That was some of the advice DuPont Pioneer field agronomist Dave Cohn was telling visitors this week at the Farm Progress Show. They can still keep yields high by taking a look at what fields are ready, Cohn said. The crops are far enough along that they need to do what they can to manage harvest, Cohn said. The weather has played a factor on the crop with a handful of challenges. They should create a harvest plan. Bruce McVicker, a DuPont Pioneer agronomist, expects farmers to be ready to see what fields are going to be like in the next few days. With the heat, we're going to see a lot of guys going into it toward the end of the week, McVicker said. As they start to move through harvest, McVicker said taking care of fields is important with weed management, particularly starting off as planting gets started in the spring. We're dealing with a lot more weeds in fields not sprayed in a timely manner, McVicker said. Farmers still have storage options available depending on the size of the crop, said Scott Becker, a sales operations director with GSI in Assumption. It's not too late to add the last piece of the puzzle, Becker said. We can make it happen. GSI had on display at its Farm Progress exhibit a range of options it had available for grain storage. Its eye-catching 60-foot grain bin with conveyor catwalk seen at Progress City, USA, is typical on large farms, Becker said. Being able to store grain can help farmers manage their marketing options given current low commodity prices, Becker said. He said it can make adding storage worthwhile even as farmers carefully manage how their money is spent. A 30 to 50 cent improvement in prices over time can be the difference between not making money and at least breaking even, he said. Farmers have information available throughout the year to help them make decisions, including what Agrible can offer. The new ag tech startup business in Champaign is partnered with Archer Daniels Midland Company to provide a newsletter every day to customers, said Katie Betts, business operations manager. Agrible provides farmers with real-time data in its morning farm report, Betts said. Everything is updating constantly, said Nancy Dankel, Agrible sales manager. We can look into the future. ADM has been rebranding its contract alternatives, said Brian Wiggins, an integration manager with the company. We want farmers to be intentional in selling grain, Wiggins said. He said it wants to help farmers make good marketing decisions. Used books, stacking up. Used book sale offers record number of titles. Visitors to the Friends of Decatur Public Library book sale this weekend will have a record-setting 70,000 titles from which to choose. Volunteers and library maintenance staff are busily preparing for the sale, which takes place Sunday and Monday. They moved 72 pallets, each holding 25 boxes of books, to the Decatur Civic Center on Thursday. It's just amazing. We never actively go out and ask for donations, said Sid Schonkweiler, one of the group's vice presidents of book sales. We never have, because we don't have to. And we have more books this year than we've ever had donated before. More than 100 volunteers will converge Saturday morning to stock the tables. They come every year. Some people work all 3 days. Families do not plan vacations because they know they want to work the Labor Day book sale, said Karen Penn, the other vice president of book sales. They just love books. A new opportunity will be available this year. During a members-only preview sale from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sunday, special books will be on sale for half price. Those include rare, older, and highly desirable volumes. There will be at least 30 tables of special books alone, Penn said. Anyone who wants to join the organization and access the sale earlier can purchase a year-long membership at the door for $15 or $20 for a family. The event is the largest fundraiser for the Friends Group, which raised about $20,000 last year. Funding pays for special exhibits and guest speakers at the library, the Children's Summer Reading Program, props for the popular Readalicious presentations, and support for library-based literacy programs. Full price for books is $1 for hardbacks, 50 cents for paperbacks, except for the books that are designated as special titles. Monday is half-price day and features a $5 brown bag special. A total of 40 carts donated by Kroger several years ago are available to make shopping easier. The books will be sorted by genre. This is one process where everybody wins, Penn said. I think that's why we have so many volunteers. It's such a positive experience. If you go, the Friends of the Decatur Public Library book sale is 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday at the Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. Members-only preview sale is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Sunday. Memberships are available at the door. Beach photos wave in patrons at Farm Progress Show. Kyle West of Highland was inviting visitors walking by the Westfield exhibit to take a trip to the beach. With the weather as hot as it was Tuesday, many visitors felt like they would be better off cooling off on a beach. West took their photograph with various backgrounds available, including a football stadium. It's something different, West said. It's fun, good fun for the kids. Tara Chawla, Ag Growth International Farm Brand Marketing Manager, one of the visitors who stopped to learn about the series of augers that are available. Some of the latest offerings allow farmers to have one piece of equipment instead of two, she said. Chawla cautioned that visitors should be careful who they show their photo to, or else others might not believe they were actually at the farm show. Boxes of books were disappearing as reading materials were being given away to visitors walking through the varied industries tent. Forsyth Library Director Rachel Miller said more boxes from behind a curtain were being pulled out as the ones on display were being claimed by visitors. Miller expects to go through nearly a ton of books, and any leftovers will be given away following the Farm Progress Show. They were set out in a hallway at Richland Community College 2 years ago and were gone in a matter of days, Miller said. They'll all go to good homes, Miller said. The book giveaway is intended to provide information about the local library system in the Decatur area. To get a better idea of the Farm Progress Show's reach, one only needed to look at the collection of license plates in the parking lots. With very little effort, during the short walk from the parking row 46 to the southeast entrance, license plates from 15 states and Ontario, Canada were spotted. Some of the more notable examples were from Utah, Maryland, New York, Florida, West Virginia, and Texas. Why walk when you can ride? That simple formula added up to brisk business for Battery Specialist Plus golf cars, which rents out golf cars, or carts if you prefer, at the Farm Progress Show. Lots of visitors who grew tired of hoofing around in the 90-degree heat were disappointed Tuesday, however, as no cars were available unless you had pre-booked. We start pre-booking for the show in March, and we were fully booked probably a couple of weeks before the show started, company owner Danny Coker said. We've got about 400 being rented here. One happy customer was truck salesman Rick Knifley from Franklin. He's a regular at the show, but had never rented transportation before. It's a lot of walking, he said, and I just don't want to do all the walking. Parking control at the Farm Progress Show is being handled by old-fashioned horsepower. A team of 18 volunteer horsemen, coordinated by Blake Sponsel from Toledo, rode herd on the vehicles flooding into the show and showed them where to park. Sponsel, 29, who has been riding all of his life, says horse riders are easy to spot, very maneuverable, and one horse rider can do the work of 6 or 8 people on foot. The riders gave up their vacations to do parking duty, and the money they make, about $4,000, will be donated to charity. We live on our horses and just love it out here, Sponsel said. Representatives from two of the state's 97 county soil and water conservation districts were on hand to fight for funding to stay open. Without a state budget for the 2016 fiscal year, the districts won't be able to pay for employee health insurance starting September 30th. Without a budget, we have nothing, said Melissa Cobble, the administrative coordinator from Montgomery County. On a table besides a fishing game, they had fill-in letters Illinois residents could send to their lawmakers urging them to restore funding. The districts receive funds through the Illinois Department of Agriculture to help farmers and landowners reduce soil erosion. Improve water quality, and provide wildlife habitat. Without that, federal funding is also on hold. Some of the districts are close to closing. A few won't make it through the calendar year, Cobble said. If you're trying to raise money at the Farm Progress Show, one of the easiest ways is to sell ice-cold beverages. The Argenta Oriana High School cheerleaders manned 10 stands throughout the grounds all day. At $3 per drink, Tuesday's sales were just shy of $1,000. They were on track to beat that Wednesday. Today it was so much busier, said cheerleader Gracie Whitaker. She and sophomore Peyton Tater spent the day raising money for their squad. With 10% of each sale going back to the cheerleaders, they expect to raise up to $4,000. We're in a perfect spot, said sophomore Peyton Tater, who gestured to the stage in front and the gate behind. The breeze didn't hurt either. It was both their first time attending the Farm Progress Show, and the girls were impressed by how big it was. The friendly pair had a steady supply of visitors, mostly buying water and Powerade to help beat the heat. More than a few farm boys showing off their country charm for the cheerleaders became repeat customers. But the biggest surprise came when some visitors from South America overheard them practicing for Spanish class and greeted them in Spanish with a kiss. Decatur Day welcomes community to Farm Progress. Kyle Weiss of Decatur knew the Farm Progress Show was a big deal, but he hadn't been to the event in person until this week. Weiss, a retired planner, came away with a better appreciation for it, so much so that he was helping to greet visitors Thursday coming into the main gate of Progress City, USA. He had thought of it in terms of Decatur celebration, but said Farm Progress far exceeds that in size and scope. There's something for everybody. It's cool they come from all over the world for it. Weiss and other ambassadors for the Decatur-Macon County City Limitless Community Marketing Initiative received a tour from Farm Progress Management of the showgrounds Monday as final setup was wrapping up. We saw everything that could be of interest to visitors during the show, from field demonstrations to concerts and all the latest farm equipment and accessories. It was neat to see how they do it all, he said. The tires of the machines are taller than I am. Decatur area residents were encouraged to attend the final day of the Farm Progress Show to see what it's all about, especially if they had been there before. If they hadn't been there before, that is. Members of this year's Decatur Leadership Institute class were among those attending the event as part of its normal rotation of tours around the area. They can drive by on a normal day and see the empty paved roads out here and not think much of it, said Nicole Bateman, Community Marketing and Branding Manager. It becomes its own city out there. The benefits of hosting the Farm Progress Show are becoming more noticeable throughout the community, said Logan May, a Decatur-Macon County City Limitless Ambassador and Sales Manager at the Residence Inn by Marriott that opened this spring in Forsyth. He said the expansion of Progress City can only help the benefits from the show grow. May said he hadn't been out to Progress City during the Farm Progress Show before, either, and hoped others from the Decatur area would see what it's all about. The more that are exposed to it, the better it is for the city, May said. I feel like I know a lot about it already and can direct people where to go. We see a lot of different people from the area and want to welcome them, not from the area, and want to welcome them here. May said the idea was to spread a feeling of excitement about Decatur. We have great things going on and a lot of progress is being made, May said. We want to keep that momentum going. Show manager Matt Youngman said the support from the Decatur community helps make the event successful. Volunteers help with anything from directing traffic, responding to medical situations, and greeting visitors to the show, Youngman said. We appreciate the support from Macon County. It's all gone very well, he said. Youngman said Wednesday appeared to be the most well-attended day, followed by Tuesday. By Thursday, he said the crowd thins out, as it did this year. Yet Youngman said the site expansion and field demonstrations helped to spread crowds out more. Parking lots were full and overflow areas needed to be used, he said. The heat was bothersome, but something everybody in Decatur has become accustomed to for farm progress, Youngman said. Visitor awareness about how to deal with the heat has helped. They know a Decatur Farm Progress Show can be hot. Organizers and exhibitors were prepared to help visitors combat the heat, with 42 air-conditioned structures, including the grain bin at the AgCo exhibit. Nelson's Catering went through one semi-truck full of 36,000 bottles of water, and that's just its three food courts and wasn't counting all the water exhibitors made available. Nelson's was prepared to bring in at least another semi-truck. Being able to accommodate visitors at Progress City helps spread the success throughout the community and surrounding areas. The Farm Progress Show accounted for 5,500 room nights over its three-day run in 2013, and that doesn't include those helping with setup in the month before, said Terry Hamill, executive director of the Decatur Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. She expects similar numbers this year, and hotel rooms weren't freeing up during the show. The hotels will call if they have rooms free up, and they haven't freed up, Hamill said. Hamill noticed license plates from six states in front of Doherty's Pub and Pins in downtown Decatur on Monday evening, and said that's just a small indication of what else was going on around town, particularly at the restaurants in Forsyth. Julie Weeks, the director of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, liked what she was seeing in Decatur from a marketing standpoint and hopes to bring similar ideas back for the event next year in Boone, Iowa. We've never made that kind of effort to have locals show up, Weeks said. Until they get out here, nobody realizes the magnitude of what goes on over the 3 days. Townships General Assistance gets under budget. Changes continue in the Decatur Township's General Assistance Program. 1 month after the board approved changes in how the program was implemented, Township Supervisor Lisa Stanley said at Wednesday night's meeting of the Board of Trustees that one of the three union employees in the General Assistance Office would be retiring at the end of September in exchange for extending health care coverage until they are covered by Medicare in 6 months. A change in staffing was inevitable after the board cut nearly $100,000 out of its General Assistance Fund for the upcoming fiscal year, including roughly $58,000 out of the funds that cover employee salaries and insurance. With the retirement agreement, Stanley said the program would be under the total budgeted for the fiscal year. They will post the position next month per union requirements, but Stanley said a replacement would be found in-house. In part of the larger changes going on in the office after the Board of Trustees unanimously approved a plan during its August meeting that would add eligibility requirements and other guidelines for those seeking general assistance, which aids those who do not qualify for other public assistance. Requirements would include a person sending a number of resumes a month and doing a certain amount of community and volunteer service that could lead to education or employment opportunities. Failure to meet the requirements or employment would prevent a person from receiving assistance, which is about $100 a month. Those deemed unemployable would need a doctor's note to verify the condition and would be required to apply for supplemental security income or another form of financial aid. General assistance has been a topic of heated discussion for several months, as the Township's board has discussed ways to lower the amount of money going toward administration and provide more aid for residents, especially as the amount of money garnered from local property taxes declines. Arthur Cheese Festival promises a cut of the action. Arthur, the question in Arthur this weekend is not who cut the cheese, although that's important, but who's going to curl, gobble, or spit the cheese. The Amish Country Cheese Festival has been a Labor Day weekend tradition for 43 years. Our craft and food vendors are always a hit, but people love the contests we do, Tourism Director Christy Miller said. Cheese spitting, cheese eating, cheese curling. If it's related to cheese, we have it. Former Illini basketball player Dee Brown will have the honor of being the celebratory cutter for the 300-pound wheel of cheddar cheese at the opening ceremony at 10 a.m. Saturday. Miller said they'll hand it out on crackers for free every day to an estimated 30,000 visitors. An estimated 7,000 to 10,000 pounds of cheese expected to fill the shops and vendor booths during the festival. The most popular thing going will be our giveaway, Miller said. They know when it's coming up, and we call it our liquid gold. The festival's cheesy goodness has become so popular, it's getting some national exposure this year. Miller said Travel Channel crews will be filming the festival for an unnamed show that will appear on the network. Co-chairman Stephanie Weirman has been involved with the festival for nearly a decade, and she said her two favorite events are Saturday's cheese-eating contest, with the same man coming back for the past 4 years to defend his title, and the National Cheese Curd Spitting Contest Monday. She said Saturday is their busiest day between the competitions and the parade starting at 3:43 p.m., a nod to the 43rd anniversary. The first day of the festival will also include the National Cheese Curling Championships. With so many food vendors, Miller said placement becomes tricky, especially since downtown Arthur straddles the county line. Some only have a Moultrie or Douglas County Health Department food permit, so you have to make sure they're on the right side of the street, she said. Returning for its second year is the Bench Press and Amish Strongman competition on Monday that includes a buggy pull. Last year we saw a big draw for that, Miller said. If you go, it's the 43rd Annual Amish Country Cheese Festival, Saturday to Monday, this weekend, in downtown Arthur. For a full schedule or to check event times, visit www.arthurcheesefestival.com. That's arthurcheesefestival.com. Classroom Dojo opens communication with home. On Tuesday, one of Jessica Menino's children was having a bad day at French Academy. Menino sent a message to him through his teacher. I sent a message to remind him I'm watching, she said. It was nothing big, but it really does help. Menino can watch her children at school thanks to Classroom Dojo, a free app for phones, tablets, and desktops that lets teachers and staff at French give kids a dojo point for doing what they should and, though it's used rarely, subtract points when they're not. Parents can check any time to see how their kids are doing and can send messages through the app. The beauty of it, said French principal Julie Frayne, is how easy it is and how it's opened lines of communication between home and school that creates supportive and seamless pipeline. When a child was too noisy in the lunchroom, for example, Frayne sent a message to his mom, who sent back one back for her child. While it wasn't a big behavior issue worth a phone call home, it nipped the behavior in the bud before it became an issue. One of the features of it is that teachers can keep the app running on their classroom Promethean boards, and kids can hear a ding when somebody gets a point. When they hear that sound, they perk up right away. It is so powerful, Frayn said. And you can give negative dojos. We try to focus on the positive. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You were seen doing what you're supposed to do, and we're going to give you a dojo. Students have their own icons on the staff's phone screens, and giving a child a point is as easy as touching the icon. Every adult has access to it, from Fane to the custodian. When Fane visited one classroom this week, she saw all kinds of kids working, and right then she gave each a dojo point. And because it works on percentages rather than total points, a child who gets a positive point and no negative ones on a given day has a 100% day. Third grade teacher Nicole Janae said she loves it. It allows instant feedback between teacher, student, and parent, and parents like being able to stay in touch with their child's school day. Of 18 students in her class, 12 parents signed up for the app, and most of them check it every day. Katie Dilbeck's first grade class is much easier to keep on task now. It's a constant reminder for parents at home. This is what my child is doing. This is how their day is going. And then they can send me a message for the child saying, way to go, or you need to tell them they need to work a little more on this. Plan Commission okays Aldi site for City Council vote. Development of a new Aldi store on the city's north side proceeded one step forward Thursday over the passionate objections of neighbors worried about increased traffic and their property values. The Decatur Plan Commission voted 5-2 to recommend rezoning of a 1.88 acres near the intersection of West Ash Avenue and U.S. Business 51. The matter now proceeds to the Decatur City Council for consideration at a future meeting, the date of which was unknown Thursday. The commission's decision came after a two-hour meeting during which residents packed the council chambers at the Decatur Civic Center. More than 15 people voiced concerns about their safety and ability to get out of their driveways with the increased traffic, and about the effect of the development on their property values and quality of life. We don't want our neighborhood destroyed, and we feel this would be the beginning of the end for our established neighborhood, said Tim Bresnan, whose home would be across the street from the store's entrance. Representing the developers, attorney Ed Flynn told the commission that Aldi planned to be a good neighbor. Further, he said, the expanded store would offer more sales tax revenue for the city. Under the plan, Aldi would close its larger store on Pershing Road and attempt to sell that building at At 18,000 square feet, the new store would be roughly 3,000 square feet larger. Customers would enter and exit on West Ash Avenue, where a left turn lane would be added. About 12 trucks each week would make deliveries through an entrance on West Oak Lane. The owners of 5 homes and a vacant lot on the property have reportedly agreed to sell. Aldi's director of real estate, Mike Roche, said last week that the intersection is desirable because of its high traffic count and visibility. If this rezoning is not approved, he said the company would look elsewhere along U.S. Business 51, somewhere between Target and Menards. Many of the neighbors spoke about traffic issues, saying cars already stack up at the intersection of West Ash Avenue and U.S. Business 51. They questioned the findings of a traffic study conducted by consulting firm Koenig, Lindgren, O'Hara, Abuna, Incorporated. The firm concluded that backups would not be a problem, particularly if road striping and signs indicated that cars should not block the entrance to the parking lot. That's all we have time for in the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review. This is Barbara Ridenour with the September 4th edition. Please stay tuned.